Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
Hello, I'm Tom Rennie. No game day podcast for you this week because, of course, there is no Premier League, so we're all off on the beach together. Danny Gabbardon wearing very tight Speedos, enjoying the beach in Barbados. I'm watching him right now, though he didn't invite me. We're just Skyping each other. We like to stay in constant contact. No David Connolly as well. He's off working every single day of the week somewhere else. So we've got a special treat for you to replace our usual programming, and that is the very best of TalkSport content from the last 24 hours. We have a sister podcast called TalkSport Daily, which brings you a snapshot, a snippet of the best of what TalkSport has offered you in the 24 hours previous. I'll hand you over now to Adam Catchrell to explain more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome to the TalkSport Daily Podcast with me, Adam Catterall, in for Jimmy White's best mate. And what a podcast we have for you today. You'll hear from Robbie Fowler and whether or not he believes his former teammate Steven Gerrard could replace Jurgen Klopp at Anfield. Danny Murphy on where Harry Kane could be off to if he leaves Spurs. And for once, we'll promise no one will mention those dreaded letters, V-A-R, in this edition of the pod. But first, to Drive and Danny Murphy, talking about Harry Kane and where he thinks he's clearing off to.
If Kane turned up at Liverpool tomorrow in the summer with the scarf above his head and they'd signed him, I don't think Liverpool fans would be disappointed.
And listen, I you've got to respect fans who back their own. He's, for me, he's going to be running out in
he's
the shirt.
He's a brilliant player. I mean, it's not about him. It's about how do you improve.
I think Kane has shown that he is that all-round striker. Yeah, who can go wide, come deep. He can link play up. I don't think he's over selfish. I think he's selfish enough for a striker, but he will play in a teammate as well. But let's have a look. When he was fully fit,
last
season he wasn't fully fit. Okay, so he got 17 in 28. I'm talking Premier League here. Okay. Before that, you look at it. It's 25 in 38, 29 in 30. 30 and 37. These are ridiculous numbers. And it's not just one-off seasons. Now, so if just imagine, if Liverpool did sign him and he was wearing that shirt, yeah, as you say, with a scarf above his head,
it
at the photo call.
Makes them better.
They're all buying the Harry Kane scarves and shirts. Let's speak to John, who's a City fan in Manchester. Hi, John.
Hi, guys.
Hi, John.
Just want to speak about Aguero compared to Jesus. When you actually go to the game, as you guys know, you see things that you wouldn't actually normally see on TV. And went to a game last year and saw Aguero, and some of the running he does in between the channels, he makes goals out of nothing. For instance, the Liverpool game at home, he made that first goal out of absolutely nothing. And then as soon as Jesus replaces him, he's completely a different type of player. And I think Jesus has got to start to learn that those runs that Aguero makes, what makes City a good team. He makes himself available in the box and just makes something out of absolutely nothing. But you wouldn't see that on TV.
No, I think you make some good points. They are different players. I think ultimately what you've got to look at is very simple. Can Jesus regularly hit the numbers Aguero has over the seasons? If Aguero left, I'm not sure he can, because you're looking at a remarkably high bar that Aguero has set. A wonderful, wonderful striker, one of the best we've ever seen in our league. So there is a question mark over it. There's not many out there I think Kane could hit the numbers Aguero. It's playing for City.
Yep, I could see that.
How many goals would he score playing for them?
Yeah, that's the
ridiculous
point. The way he would be fed by De Bruyne, etc. You're looking at incredible numbers. Just a quick tweet here. It says, do you people realise Kane is having a terrible season? So that's 6 goals in 10 Premier League games. And you're right, I think he's not having a great season. I thought he was poor on Saturday when I saw him. Still 6 goals in 10 games.
Kane and Aguero like all the best strikers, don't necessarily need to play well to score.
10 in 14.
I've seen Aguero do nothing for 80 minutes and score two.
Mm.
And get man of the match. You know, he's just got that. Kane's the same. Kane can look off the pace, and all of a sudden, he gets you the winner. It's what the best strikers do. Michael Owen is the best I've ever played with at it. Michael, you wouldn't see him sometimes for half a game, more, two thirds. And then he'd win you the game, or win you a final, or a big game player. Mm. Big game player.
Time for the Romford Pelly Ray Parlour on Breakfast with Big Al. Talking about the Gunners.
The problem with Emery is I don't think he knows his best team. I don't think he knows his best formation. You've got to work on these. You've got to work on these formations. And
But he should know, Ray.
He should know. Yeah. I mean, at the moment, Ozil was frozen out. Now he's back in favour. You know, all these things are not going in the right direction for Arsenal at the moment. Defensively, you know, they're still not solid enough.
How should they play, Ray, for you, formation-wise? I'm not saying every game, but what is the most likeable formation that you'd like to see them play?
I don't mind a three at the back, but you've got to be working on it week in, week out, and say, right, this is the formation I'm going to play, I'm going to stick with it. You know, at certain times, you don't want to be keep changing systems because people get used to playing. Bellerin will get used to playing bombing on down the right-hand side if you're playing wing-back. Suddenly, you've got players a right-back, and he still wants to bomb on. He's going to be leave gaps for the centre-halves. They get isolated. So, you know, I've got no problem playing three at the back, but he's got to say, right, I'm going to play this week in, week out and work on it in training. Everybody knows exactly what their jobs are as a team, and then we can maybe move up the league. But at the moment, Al, it's 4-2-3-1, then it'd go 4-3-3, then it'd be three at the back.
And it's not good.
No one really knows, you know.
Just a couple of weeks ago, you could have gone third. Arsenal could have gone third.
It's all about... Right, finding the right formula and then suddenly going, right, I'm going to work on this. I'm going to work on it day in, day out. The players are going to understand how I'm going to play. And then it's down to them, cross the white line, and it's down to you guys. And it's all about during the week. That's what Arsene Wenger done so well. He trained you. Everybody knew their jobs. Then he'll leave you alone. On match day, it's down to you. And it's don't get me wrong, some players are not playing to their full potential, and you could argue they've made too many poor mistakes. Look, even in the first half against Leicester, how many times a square pass in their own half and it ends up giving Leicester a chance to score a goal? It was poor finishing in the end from Leicester's point of view.
Yeah.
Would
Madison be good enough for the Arsenal?
Oh, definitely. I really like him. I think he's a superb player. I said before the game, he's the one I'm going to be watching, and scored a great goal. He's got a real good football brain. A little bit unlucky with a free kick as well when he tried to bend it over the wall. Just got it slightly wrong. But he's going to be a real talent. And I can see why, you know, suddenly he's really stepped up from Norwich to Leicester. Yeah.
So, Ray, why do you think Patrick... What I know, look, he was a great player with you, wasn't he? He was a leader. He was hard as nails, but he could play. Why do you think he'd make a better manager?
Well, he's got an experience now as manager. And I just think he'd bring that stature to the club. Everybody would look up to Patrick. He would be able to attract big players, which is very important because Patrick was an excellent player himself. And I just think he'll have the desire which players will respond to in that dressing room. He might bring a few old players back. You know, you never know. People like Dennis Bergkamp could get an opportunity. I'd love to see some guys like that on the bench. You know, what inspiration. If I was playing for Arsenal, I'd see them sort of guys who've been there, won trophies. That would give me inspiration.
Well, you'd have the fans on your side, right?
Well, the fans would give you a chance as well, like Frank Lampard. Mm-hmm. And I just think that would be the way forward. It's all about investment as well. You know, it's all about getting the right players in.
But would they back Patrick right away, or would they see how he goes first?
Well, I think they would have to back him. I mean, if you're going to make that big decision and change managers, you've got to back the new one coming in. You've got to give him a chance, haven't you? If you don't back him, what chance has he got? Because you need investment. It's all about having the better players. And that's why Champions League football is so important for
us. Well, Ray, I was coming to that. I was going to say the board must be of the thought that we're going to make the Champions League.
Sometimes you've got to make a bit of a gamble. You've got to have a bit of a gamble.
So we're going to give them every chance of getting us in the top four. There's some money, Patrick.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a little bit of a gamble because you don't... But they pay for the stadium. You can take that gamble now.
Mm.
You can say, right, I'm going to spend 100 million and give them a real opportunity to maybe get
150.
Get the right players in, and then we can push on. Once we're in the Champions League, suddenly it attracts more players. The money's coming into the club.
Yeah.
Before you know it, 3 or 4 years later, you've been in a regular basis.
And now to Hawksby and Jacobs, where you can catch the boys from 1pm every weekday afternoon. And if you follow them on Instagram, you'll know that they're in my neck of the woods at the moment. Manchester!
And I've always been fascinated by the hair of deposed Bolivian leader Evo Morales.
Wow, how often have I said that, Andy, over the years?
I've got a song. His hair is a hat, his hair is a hat, Evo Morales, his hair is a hat.
Is it really?
It is.
I've never seen it. In what way is it a hat? In what sense is it a hat?
It looks like a hat.
Made out of hair. Could do him a little bit more than that. Well, like, it's like a peaked cap?
No, it's sort of a beanie. A beanie made out of hair.
Okay, well, I'll look him up, Andy.
Look him up.
I would think you've caught most of the TalkSport listeners out. If you're going to do observational material, at least hand out a leaflet or put a picture up on social media.
I should have done, really. Yeah. And John Burke has signed a big new book deal. Have you seen that? The ex-speaker.
Oh, yeah.
I do hope it contains a handy guide on how to get free tickets for Wimbledon.
Well, yeah.
I think you would
like that. What's this fella called?
Evo Morales.
Evo Morales. Okay, let's have a look at his barnet. Blimey, yeah.
His hair is a hat.
Yeah, I know you mean now. His hair is a hat. It's like a busby. It's like a small busby, isn't it, that the Coldstream guards would wear.
Why not?
It's an interesting look. It'd be great if he was a football manager. Yeah, go and check it out. It's a tremendous look.
It's a bit of a Richard Madeley situation.
Kind of.
Over the years. Yeah. Or John
Major. He looks like one of these blokes who gets parachuted in at the last minute to take on one of the nations in the African Cup of Nations.
He does.
A kind of long, you know, one of the minor African nations sacked their manager with 20 minutes before the first game. And this bloke, this Bolivian coach, they save him from the Bolivian second division. And he's parachuted in a bloke you've never heard of. And he gets into the semi-final. He's got that look about him, isn't he?
Back to breakfast now, and here's Robbie Fowler. No, not talking about how many houses he owns, but talking about Steven Gerrard and Jurgen Klopp.
Steven's doing a wonderful job up at Rangers. You've got to ask the question, are they a better team now since he took over? Of course they are.
Yeah.
They really are. So, yeah, I mean, Will he want to leave and go into the Premier League? You know, no doubt about it in the future, he probably will do. But to be a Liverpool manager, I think he's probably the name on everyone's lips. Should they be looking for a new manager? As far as I'm concerned, I don't want them to be looking for a new manager. You know, I want Jurgen to stay for a long time, because if he stays for a long time, that means Liverpool as a club are successful.
Sure.
Mm. So all the talk of, oh, should Steven be there? Of course, he'll be the name on everyone's lips. But, you know, I hope it's not for a long time. Liverpool are incredible. You know, people are saying, we're watching performances, and they haven't really reached the heights what they can do. That's just like a scary thought. You know, they've got players playing in, unbelievable roles. You look at Jurgen Klopp as a manager, you know, getting rid of Coutinho. Okay, he wanted a goal, but people are always saying, oh, we'll get someone to replace him. He didn't really want to replace him. You know, he wanted different types of players who he felt would benefit Liverpool more. You know, players who have maybe a better work ethic. And that's just the route he's gone down. And I think you've got to give him, so much credit, Jurgen, because he's got them fit, he's got them fired, and they just look an incredible team.
Here's Scott Brown talking about his fellow countryman Kieran Tierney with TalkSport's James Savundra.
He's not had many opportunities yet at Arsenal so far this season, but what can fans of the Premier League expect over the coming weeks and coming months when hopefully he gets more opportunities?
He's a fantastic fullback. He's got every single thing that you can ask for. He's got pace, he's got strength, he's got that willingness to win as well, and I think it's a drive inside him as well that wants that, and he had it at Celtic. He showed his qualities, and that's why Arsenal wanted him. And for me, it was sad to see him go, because he was a great player and also a great friend as well, but it was the right time as well, and he will kick on. He'll show everyone what a top quality player he is over the next 6 months.
In terms of Scotland, there is that silver lining, I guess, of having the playoff in March. We're not sure who it's going to be against. The semi-final is in Glasgow, though, so there's a great opportunity there. I mean, do you give Scotland an opportunity of qualifying for the Euros? Because it would just be incredible to be back in a major tournament. It's been far too long.
Thanks for bringing that up. I'd love them to do it. It'd be great for Scotland. It's been since, what, France 98, so it's been far too long. The fans deserve it, I think. Here's hoping the lads can do it, because we've got a great bunch of lads there, and we've got a good manager as well, so we need to make sure we all dig deep and the lads can get the performance and that I know they can do.
Time to get back to Danny Murphy picking his all-time favourite things that are Spanish. Paella and cerveza dos, por favor. That's as far as he got.
Towards goal, and it's there! Sergio Ramos has rescued Real Madrid 3 minutes into injury time. Can you believe it?
Controversial.
Not really. When you think of Piqué, Puyol, Ramos, you could argue they're all similar, and I understand that. It's an opinion. But when you look at numbers again, and it's not all about stats, it's about what you like watching, but this guy hasn't just played hundreds and hundreds of games for one of the best teams in the world. He's won 4 league titles, 4 Champions Leagues, the Euros twice, the World Cup once. You know, this is a wonderfully decorated player. But he's a defender. 88 goals. 2 of those in Champions League finals, Aid. So if you're trying to look to separate, they're all winners. Puyol's a winner. Piqué's a winner. Ramos is a winner. You don't play at that level and win what he's won unless you're a winner.
But people dislike Ramos, don't they?
Yeah, but take away personality.
Okay.
For me, I don't judge him on that at all.
On the field I'm talking about, they don't
like it. Yeah, I know, but that's each to their own. I can't find an argument to put Piqué or Puyol ahead of him when he scored 88 goals.
Look, can we leave that question hanging there? Because it's a brilliant one. That's number 3.
Number 2.
It's Iniesta to win the World Cup for Spain! That's the goal that surely sees them crowned champions of the world. Andres Iniesta, the man of the match, with the biggest goal in Spanish football history.
Okay, you said number 2.
Mm.
Isn't that number 1?
No.
Well, go on.
Number 2, Iniesta,
yeah.
For obvious reason. I mean, actually, when you, again, this is all about opinions football, isn't it?
Of course.
When you look at the numbers, not a great goal scorer, Iniesta. Great assists, but not. I think he got 70-odd goals in 760 games. 1 in 10, 1 in 11. It's not great. But what he contributed to that team and how he manipulated the ball and dictated play and calmly got on with the job. 9 league titles, 4 Champions League, obviously the World Cup winner, scoring the final in the World Cup. And do you know the interesting thing, and I didn't realise this, Aid, I didn't know that just before the World Cup, he'd been really struggling with depression after the death of his friend, Daniel Jacquet, or however you say it, the Spanish player who fortunately passed away, didn't he? So he actually picked himself up somehow to get through that and then go on to score the winner in the final. I think he had the vest, didn't he, or the T-shirt underneath.
That's right, yeah.
Unbelievable story when you read about it. He's everybody's favourite Iniesta because of the, I think partly not just because of the way he plays, but the way he conducts himself.
Yeah.
Never mouthing off, moaning, diving around. He just plays.
Yeah. He was definitely my number one, so I'm intrigued to find out.
Number 1.
And their captain, Xavi, will take the penalty. Boos around the Parc des Princes. Xavi steps up and he scores. Low, right-footed into the corner.
Xavi, as a midfielder, I've never seen anyone quite like him. A wonderful passer of the ball, never gives the ball away, always receives it in areas where you shouldn't really want it, and never struggles with the ball. He became a leader as his time went on. He wasn't a shouter on the baller. He wasn't nasty. In those Madrid Barca games where you'd watch him, he was never being an idiot and trying to get people sent off. He won all the things with Spain, of course. He was part of their winning. He played, again, not a big goal scorer, 940 games in his career.
Mm.
Unbelievable for central midfielder, that. Unbelievable.
At a great level.
Longevity. Yeah. Mm. Longevity. Now, I actually, 8 leagues, 4 league championship, 133 caps. The reason he probably tipped it for me, number one, sometimes things stick in your memory. I played against him. I think it was under 90s or under 20s or something like that for England. He was about 3 or 4 years. He was younger than me, but he was playing ahead of his years.
Yep.
And I'll never forget coming off the pitch thinking, that's the best player I've ever played against at that age. And that was Xavi. And he just gone on. And you know when you remember, and another one was Aymar, that was another one actually. I know he's Argentinian, but that was another memory. I saw this young kid, small in midfield. I thought, he can't be very good. He's only young. He looks tiny. Could not he dictate the whole game?
This is TalkSport Daily.
Back to breakfast now, and here's former West Ham defender James Collins in the studio.
With my contract situation, it was tough for me because I couldn't go to Moisey and ask because he didn't know if he was going to be there.
Yeah.
So it was all sort of thrown up in the air, and then obviously the games are going on, and then it's coming up to the last game at Everton, and I still didn't know, and sort of spoke to Mark Noble, you know, one of my best mates in football before the game, said, look, this could be my last game for West Ham, and turns out it was, and then obviously got told.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
After that, I wouldn't be taken on.
Have you spoke to David Gold or David Sullivan since?
Yeah, I spoke to Dave Sullivan, kind of, you know, he's answered a few of my emails, more to the fact that I wanted to go in there training the start of last season, and he agreed, and then, you know, that's what I sort of got the move to Ipswich on the back of that. But, you know, looking back, you know, it was all this talk about an email that I got to say I was leaving. It wasn't direct email saying you weren't. It was sort of the generic email that goes around when you're out of contract. But I didn't know that at the time. So obviously I've got this email through and sort of, I don't know, threw me toys out of the pram a little bit, you know, looking back in hindsight. But, you know, after 11 years, I thought it could have sort of been handled better than it was on both sides.
Did you get a chance to see your goodbyes or not?
No, I haven't. And that's been, no, I was a bit emotional after the Everton game, you know, walking around sort of, you know, waving at the fans, still not really knowing, but I've spoke to the club since, you know, in the weeks, you know, just gone, and it looks like I'm going to get a chance to go back and actually speak to the fans.
Testimonial?
Well, no, I don't think that'll happen, to be honest, but, you know, too much time's passed on that now. But just, you know, West Ham was a massive part of my life. Mm. I went there when I was 20, 21, you know, a bit wet behind the ears when I moved up to London, and it sort of made me the player and the man I am. So there's a lot of people at that club I'd like to thank.
And finally, the best bits from the sports bar with me and Jason Victor Cundy.
You're piecing down?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried it?
No.
Over a game of poker, one of my mates last week said that they sit down for a number one.
Yeah, I do that.
You sit down for a wee?
Yeah.
What?
I do.
Why'd you sit down for a wee? First thing in the morning,
you've
right?
got a tallywhack a bit. First, it'll be pointing all
first,
over the place.
First thing in the morning, when I'm creaking as I'm getting out of bed.
Yeah.
Literally, I walk like early man. You know that hunched
over?
Yeah.
Because
my body's so stiff.
So why can't you just
By the time I get to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I can't stand.
You've been told off for weeing all over the place, haven't you?
I can't
That's
stand
what it is. That's what it is. My mum used to do this to me all the time. She used to say, stop doing that all over. Can you not aim properly? Then you teach yourself how to aim, don't you? You don't need to sit down.
And my four-year-old still struggled, but I had to sit down. I don't do it every time.
Yeah.
I would say...
Is it a little treat?
I give myself plenty of treats. I do. And there's what's wrong with sitting down for number one?
Why do you pee sitting down?
Many reasons.
You've been listening to the TalkSport Daily Podcast with me, Adam Catterall. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, because when he gets back next week, I want him to know there's a new sheriff in town. That's all I'm saying, all right? So make sure you hit that button, and it'll impress the bosses, and they'll be on him like a cheap Gucci suit like next week. Anyway, this will hopefully land in your inbox in the morning. Be safe, everyone.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.